Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said it's so difficult to save money when your neighbors keep buying things you can't afford. We're happy to have the privilege of being with you again today, and I hope that our study time together will be well spent and we'll learn something about the will of God that will be helpful to us. We appreciate so very much those who have listened on a regular basis to our Bible Meditations program. All right, let's get into our study for this week. The fourth chapter of the book of John tells of an encounter that the Lord had with a woman of Samaria. Now, you must remember that there was bitter feelings between the Samaritans and the Jews. They did not respect each other, and so it would be amazing for one who is a Jew to ask a Samaritan for water. Yet that's exactly what happened when the Lord requested water of her. She then, after the Lord spoke with her about it, said, "Give me this water that you're talking about, that I might have eternal life." Well, of course, the Lord pointed out to her that there were certain things in regard to worship that needed to be understood. Look at verse 20 of the fourth chapter of the book of John. "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Now here's a major difference between the Samaritan and the Jew. She's pointed out the fact that her ancestors had said that they worshiped there in that mountain. But Jesus is representing the Jewish people, and so it is in Jerusalem that men ought to worship. Well, her question really is this: which is right? Should I listen to what our fathers say, or should I listen to what you have to say? Well, look at the way the Lord answers that in verse 21. "Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father." In other words, the time is going to come that the place that you're talking about is not the essential thing. Now look at verse 22. "Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him." And then verse 24, and most of us are familiar with that verse, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." All right, let's go back and look at what the Lord had to say in regard to worship. He pointed out a truth in regard to God selecting the Jewish people under the Old Covenant. Under the Old Testament, the Jew was given distinction. However, the Lord has removed that difference between Jew and Gentile, and that no longer is in existence. So whether you worship in this mountain or whether you worship in Jerusalem really is immaterial. What is important is that the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Let me point out to you something that is an incidental in this particular verse, but is clearly seen, and that's this. There is such a thing as a true worshiper, and that would imply there are those who are not true worshipers. Our world is so conditioned to believe today that everybody is right, and that everything everybody says is all right with God, that today we're living in an age where everybody, according to the thinking of men, is acceptable in the sight of God. It doesn't make any difference what you do. There is no distinction made in regard to how you conduct yourself. According to today's world, everything is all right. I think they call that political correctness. Well, the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible is very much opposed to the idea that everybody is right, and of course this passage would be an example of that very thing. When the Lord said, there are true worshipers, he indicated that some are not true worshipers, and some will not be found acceptable with God. Does the Bible give us examples of people who have their worship refused, turned down? Well, indeed it does. Do you remember as early as the sacrifices of Cain and Abel that God made a distinction between the two? If it is true that any worship pleases God, then there ought to be an apology to Cain. But the fact is, when Abel did what God told him to do, his worship was acceptable. But if a person does not do what the Lord commands, that wouldn't be acceptable worship. And that's what Cain found out. Cain found out that his worship did not please God. Instead of offering animal sacrifice like his brother Abel had done, Cain decided that he had a right to worship any way that he wanted to. And so if he preferred the fruit of the ground over animal sacrifice, that would be all right. And so the conditioning of our world today would say, why, Cain must have been all right. He worshiped God, and so anything that he does is pleasing to God. But that isn't true, is it? No wonder the 11th chapter of the Hebrew letter and verse 4 tells us, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Why was one more excellent? Because he offered it by faith. What about the other sacrifice? It was not approved of God because it wasn't offered by faith. Well, I really don't think we'd have to go much further in discussion in pointing out the fact that as far as God is concerned, there are requirements for worship that is acceptable in his sight. Look at the book of Isaiah and listen in the first chapter of Isaiah as Isaiah suggested some people were worshiping, but God has said, no, I don't want this kind of worship, and he was turning it down. The same is found in the book of Malachi, last book in the Old Testament. And as the people were offering their sacrifices, you remember what they were doing? They were taking lame animals, they were taking diseased animals, and offering those in sacrifice to God. God just simply said, away with your sacrifices. I won't accept it. Now, does that mean then that God today will accept just anything that we do? The answer is no. God has a right to reject the sacrifice of any person. If God makes requirements for true worship, then we must meet those requirements for our worship to be true before our Father in heaven. That's one of the reasons that we're studying this week in regard to the matter of true worship and in regard to the fact that some turn away from worshiping God in a proper way. Please study with us each day, and we'll try to point out the fact that God has a way that he wants you and I to follow. We appreciate being with you today and remind you that it was Jesus who said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We now return you to our announcer.